Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Time for the Game of the Year edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we played games on Microsoft's Game Pass service in the year of 2021. We told you which games to pass on to your friends, which games to pass on by, but now it's time for us to have a little fun. We're going to pick our Game Pass Game of the Year. We do things a little differently here. Everyone's got their own Game of the Year, but we don't play always the new stuff. Sometimes we play old stuff. Sometimes we play all the indie stuff. Only games that qualify for our list have to be on Game Pass, and we have to have played it in the year 2021. I am Corey. I am joined by the top pick, the runner, the front runner for Game Pass Game of the Year, Basher.
I don't know if I'm going to beat Outriders. If shit be on this list anyway, we'll see.
Shots fired. Game Pass Game of the Year. If you want to write in and let us know what your favorite game was this year, 574-651-9256. That's an email. That's not an email. That's a phone number. You can leave a voicemail or shoot a text message. The email is gpopfans@gmail.com. The way this episode goes, we're going to read out every game that we passed on to our friends and family, I guess. I don't know. Every game that I'm about to read off, we have recommended this year, and they are all in the running. Then we will pick a top three. So here's the thing. Normally we pick a top 10 and then we narrow it down to three. We don't have that many this year. We did play less games this year, but we also passed on a lot more games than we normally do. So for that reason, we are going to simply pick a top three, and then we will pick our number one game with the two runners up. The following are in the running: Halo 4, Myst, The Artful Escape, Psychonauts 2, Curse of the Dead Gods, The Evil Within 2, Knockout City, Psychonauts, Destroy All Humans Remake, Outriders, Ghost of a Tale, Sea of Thieves, Undermine, Cyber Shadow, and Monster Train. Now comes the hard part. Let's start the process.
All right. The first part isn't too hard. I mean, the bottom of the list, I'm going to say a game that I fought for, Ghost of a Tale. I think we should, that falls first. My reasoning behind that, even though I fought to pass it at the time, I think in this list, looking at the rest of these games, it was made by a smaller team. Because of that, it had some development issues, some gameplay issues. It's not the cleanest, tightest code you're gonna play off this list. A lot of issues. It's super neat, super sweet, but at the end of the day, it just can't stack up to other titles with better development.
I will agree. I do want to say, looking back on that game, I think I was, maybe it's just hindsight. I think I fell into a moment of that game where I ended up breaking it and not meaning to, kind of thing. And, I ended up not being as high on it, but my biggest issue with it is it's janky. It feels janky. It doesn't feel polished. And as I'm getting older and crepid, is that the word? Or is it decrepit? I am a gameplay first kind of thing, and polish goes a long way with me. And this is not, it's not a game I would call polished. I still think it's cool. I actually think I would put it higher on this. Like if I had to rank all these games right now, I think it would actually be probably higher than I would even anticipate. But when it comes to a top three, I think you're right. I think it's got to go. Ghost of a Tale, unfortunately, you have been eliminated. All right, I will go next. And I'm going to say I really like the game, but I think the original Psychonauts has to go for the pure fact that Psychonauts 2 is better.
Yep, that's a good enough reason. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's a great game, but it's of the time.
Yeah, and it still holds up. I think that Xbox version, especially since you can play it on like 1X and Series X, it looks really good. Auto HDR actually works very well for it. Very unique game, but it does have some growing pains. Very, very good, though. So Psychonauts 1 has been eliminated.
I'm going to go next with, I'm going to go with Myst. Very good remake of a very good game. It's a classic game. It was my first time playing through it. And the remake really does hold up. It does bring the best out of that game. However, since Myst has been released, there's been about 5,000 other Myst games that are like it and better and more modern and don't have the same trappings as a game from 1993 or something. So for that reason, I say still play it, guys, if you get a chance. It's a classic game, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to be the top of this list this year.
I don't know if I agree, which is weird to think about. I am looking at this list, and without attacking other games, I think the fact that Myst in the year 2021 still can capture people and people that have played it for the first time speaks to its timelessness as well as its design. I think it's still obtuse in many ways, but the fact that you were able to figure it out this year without really consulting the internet goes a long way.
I will concede that choice, but that means you're next.
Yeah, I'm not ready to cut that one. I'm going to move it down. Like, I'm looking at this, and there are definitely games I'd put in front of it, but I don't know. I'm just not ready to cut it. I'm going to go the easy one. I'm going to say Outriders needs to go. I actually advocated for that game far more than you did, and I still stand by. I think that game is on the cusp of greatness. that game is so close to being just awesome. Like, legitimately some of the most fun I've had with a third person shooter ever, but it's everything else around it that is just busted. And we did something that we don't normally do and we probably shouldn't have done. Obviously hindsight's 2020, and that we gave them the benefit of the doubt saying that they were going to fix a lot of the issues. And they did, they fixed a lot of like the server problems and stuff like that. And they even added some of the quality of life features, but they didn't add it for a very long time. And I actually did play that game recently with a buddy who just kind of randomly wanted to play. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll play it with you. And I still love playing it. It's so much fun, but there's so much bloat getting to the part of playing it that it's super frustrating. Like, people give Gears of War crap, but you know what Gears of War does best?
It works.
Playing it. Well, not only that, but when you play it, it just lets you play it. Like, you just go from mission to mission shooting things. Outriders wants you to go to this hub world, and it wants you to do all these other things. And it's like, no, I just let me play the freaking game, man. Like, stop. I don't care about the story of freaking Outriders, okay? And if I do, I don't need an expose drop every 30 minutes. Just, like, just stop. Again.
No, I think the key thing you said to me for me is there's a great game there, but it's the everything around it is busted. It's not like it's okay or less than par. It's absolutely busted for me. That's why I will agree with that choice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, again, if they ever make an Outriders 2, I will be there day one. No questions asked. So Outriders has been eliminated.
I'm going to go. I got two in my mind right now. I'm going to go with Destroy All Humans remake. Solid remake. But what it really made me want is a sequel to it or something to build off of it. It's a solid remake, but it's just, I don't think it's, I don't think it's top tier this year.
I agree. I enjoyed that game way more than I thought I would. But it is a PS2 game. Like, you know, it's very much a game that's held in that time. There's not a ton of variety, but for a game that came out during that era, man, like, holy crap, that game would have blew my mind then. There's just so much content, and it's a game that it knows what it is. Like, it's very quirky and weird, but it plays into that in a way that I just didn't anticipate it. I just did not anticipate a game from that era holding up as well as it did. But no, I agree with you in that I have enjoyed my time with it, but I want a modern one more than anything, so... Destroy All Humans has been eliminated. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say that I'm going to nominate Psychonauts 2 has to be on this list.
I thought that was without saying. I agree with that. Yeah, that's going to.
All right. Well, I have plenty to say about that, but obviously as I'm nominating it for top three, and if you agree, we're just going to put it there and we'll talk about it when we get there. So Psychonauts 2 has been moved up. As of right now.
Let's talk about
Halo 4. Halo 4 has got to go.
Yo.
I'm eliminating it. I like that game a lot, but I'm not fighting for it. Halo 4 is going. Sorry.
It's no Halo 3.
Exactly. You know, the funny thing is if we would have played Halo 3 this year, like, I think I would be fighting for it right now, like, as top three, but is what it is. Wait, did we play Halo? No, we did
not. We did not. Right? We did not.
Okay. We played ODST?
This can kind of... The game I'm looking at that I don't want knocked out just yet. I think it's a fun game. So instead, I want to have a conversation about Sea of Thieves.
Okay.
It has been updated. It has been impressive in some ways. However, going back to it, I remember we went back to it for certain quality of life improvements, including a Jack Sparrow tie-in.
So what's interesting about that one is that we've passed on it and passed it this year, technically.
Right.
So
I'm leaning towards passing by it rather right now, considering my reasoning for that is I remember that Jack Sparrow tie-in and it just being not very good. There are some good parts about it.
Terrible. Terrible. The last mission is good. The rest of it's
right. Terrible. It's just a real chore. And it highlighted the worst part about Sea of Thieves.
Right. But it... Man, Sea of Thieves is really good, though. Like,
it was sometimes. But
I don't... Just... When that game works, man, it freaking works.
It really does. We'll come back to it next year. the way this goes.
I don't think it's going to make it, but I don't, as I'm looking at these other games, I think we need to talk about them before I'm comfortable cutting Sea of Thieves.
So what are we talking about?
Evil Within 2. I think that
could That's out. I forgot that was even there. That was your baby.
I enjoyed that game far more than I anticipated. In fact, I kind of wish Halo Infinite was built that way, because it actually is very similar in that there is an open world, but it breaks off into these single-player missions. But those single-player missions at Evil Within 2 are really good. And the world dynamically changed. You know, like, as you got farther into that game, that world got a lot different. I was super surprised by that game, because I fully admit that it's a more streamlined game. Like, it is not the pure survival horror the way the first one is, or like the older Resident Evil games, but I don't know. I liked it a lot for that reason. But it also looks fantastic still too. But I just don't think it's going to hang with the rest of these. I still have a lot of problems with that game, but it surprised me a lot. So, all right. So just so we're still on the same page, we update everyone. So Psychonauts 2 has been moved up. We still have The Artful Escape, Curse of the Dead Gods, Knockout City, Sea of Thieves, Undermine, Cyber Shadow, Monster Train.
We have to have a head-to-head with Curse of the Dead Gods and Undermine.
Ooh, didn't even think of that.
Because I think one of those games is better than the other. Or you can have more fun with one than the other. My vote goes for Curse of the Dead Gods.
I would pick Undermine.
It's sticky.
But here's my... I think they both should go.
I had a lot of fun with Curse of the Dead Gods. I played that way too much. Way too much. I think I still have it installed.
If you're willing to fight for it, but what I'll say is then, if you feel strongly for it, I'm totally fine cutting Undermine. Like, I think Undermine's a better, Curse of the Dead Gods, I think,
That's a fun.
It's a more modern game. It's fun, but I had a lot of issues with the progression. Like,
I remember that, yeah.
Like, and it's, again, I don't want to compare everything to Hades, but Hades just does it right. Like, Curse of the Dead Gods, whereas Undermine did the thing of just, like, sometimes you would just get totally screwed, like totally screwed. And that run that you did, there was nothing you're going to do. Like, you just weren't going to come back from it. But when you got that good run, like, all right, this is it. I'm going for it. I just never got that feeling in Curse of the Dead Gods. I never got that feeling of either side. It was always just like, okay, like, I might be able to make this work kind of thing. And I think the lack of, I could be remembering this wrong, but doesn't it, like, it really only has like three maps, I want to say. Like you sort of pick your map and then you go, you know, you progress that way. I mean, whereas Undermine was
like seven maps. Yeah. But you have to,
yeah. But again, Undermine was more like a Zelda,
right?
Like, you know, like, you started in one area and the game got progressively harder kind of thing.
Right.
I think that spoke to me more than Curse of the Dead Gods for that reason. Because when I got to a new area, I felt like I was like, all right, like, I've made progress. You know, I am now hitting harder. Like, yes, the numbers are just going up, but it worked for me. And that I just never felt that in Curse of the Dead Gods.
You're not
both
wrong.
Of that being. Yeah. All that being said, I do not like Undermine more than the other games on this list. I was extremely frustrated with it for all the reasons I already said. You know, it does not have the magic of Hades. It trolls you at times. A lot of the progression in terms of like your home base and stuff, it's just not worth anything. And it takes a long time to progress sometimes. Like, you can get stonewalled in that game. Whereas I think Curse of the Dead Gods does a much better job of that, of you don't feel like you're just sort of hitting that wall over and over, whereas Undermine you do.
And to your point, yeah, so, you mentioned Mission of the game during that. Hades is on Game Pass.
It is.
So by that, just by that logic, we can get rid of both these games. You're right. Just play Hades.
I mean, no, I don't. I mean, where you sold me on Curse of the Dead Gods was, though, like, if you finished Hades, you know, maybe you should, like, Curse of the Dead Gods is more akin to a Hades and then Undermine. Like, they're very, like, they're the same genre, but they're still very different games. That's tough.
If you're going to move Curse of the Gods down, I mean, up, but I don't think it's going to make the top three anyway. But you can move it up for now.
I'll get rid of Undermine for now. I'll get rid of Undermine. We'll keep Curse of the Dead Gods for the simple fact that I think the next game we need to talk about is Cyber Shadow, and I don't think we're going to agree on it, but...
You love that. You love the 8-bit revolution. I mean, like, it's
Look. We're going to talk about this during our State of Game Pass, but I am so sick of AAA games and quote AA games, right, that are 3D and the new biggest thing. We have not hit a home run in Game Pass in that capacity at all this year. Like, the games that are standing out are the smaller ones, and Cyber Shadow is a dang good one. Like, we're playing all these games and, like, all these quote big ones, like The Ascent and Back for Blood. I play those games. I'm like, they're terrible.
Yeah,
like,
sure are. I agree.
They're terrible games. And I'm sitting here playing Cyber Shadow and, like, yeah, it's not exactly revolutionary, but hey, it's freaking good. Like, whereas freaking The Ascent, Steep, and Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance, all those games suck. Like, so again, we'll talk about that later.
I'm not getting rid of it yet, but I do have an eye on Cyber Shadow.
I think
I don't dislike it. I don't think it's bad. It's just I'm just over these type of games, but at the same time, you made good points. The other games are so much worse.
Right. And I know that's not the point of this. Like, we're looking at games that we liked, but that is weighing on me. I will fully admit, it's just like, we pass on Halo Infinite, you know, like, and the reason for that is because those games have a goal. Those games have a design doc they don't accomplish their goals as video games, whereas Cyber Shadow does. For most of it, like, Cyber Shadow's, it's not as good as like a Shovel Knight or a Messenger. Like, those games are 10 out of 10s for me in that they are the throughput and the progression of them are super solid. Like, from the moment you start that game till you get to the end of those, it steadily gets more difficult. You get more powerful and by the end of that game, you feel like a different character. And the level design and everything is just amazing. Cyber Shadow are not as good as those, but it's pretty close. Like, I would give that game like a 9 out of 10. Sometimes the difficulty spike is way too tough. Sometimes the level design can be a little confusing in terms of, like, I thought I could jump here, but I ended up not being able to. Some of the boss designs get, you know, you can get brick walled kind of hard, but it's almost intended to be that way. Not that that's a good design, but it's more akin to like a Ninja Gaiden. It's a Ninja Gaiden with a little bit of Mega Man X in there. It's very difficult. It's got like a death counter. Like, you know, you're going to die 200-600 times, but its progression is good. Like, I definitely got frustrated with it, but not nearly as many times as I had fun with it. There's not a lot wrong that I can say about it. Soundtrack is amazing. I think it looks really nice. It's solid.
I'll allow it. That said, we might have a fight here. So, two things. I want to move Monster Train up. And I want to move The Artful Escape down. The Artful Escape is gorgeous. Sounds nice. Nice soundtrack. Well produced. The whole nine. However, it's one of those games that's not really a game. And it's really just... It's really just another visual novel type of thing. I don't think it needs to be up here with the best games we played of the year. it's the best visual novel thing, sort of type of whatever you want to call it, but it doesn't stack up with anything with actual gameplay.
I can't agree. And I plan on elaborating. I'm just sort of looking at the list and trying to. So you said you want to move Monster Train up.
I think Monster Train is top of near top of its class in what it does in its genre. I think it's one of the GOATs. I think it's one of the premier games in this genre. I think it. I still have it installed. Very good game. It's up there with The Darkest Dungeon for me.
I think we got to talk about Knockout City first.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of keeping it in the back there because it's a fun game that people should play more of.
Yeah, man, that's tough.
I
like that game a lot.
Right. I want people to support that game. Not only that game specifically, but games like that more. Because that game came and gone with EA, with lack of EA real support in terms of like marketing and promotion. And it's a really fun game. And it's one of those multiplayer games that we need more of, where it's just more for the fun of it. It's not about shooting someone to death all the time. It's not about being the most elite and being the most whatever. It's a game of dodgeball, and it's super fun, and we should have more of these types of games. So, like, for that reason, I was kind of holding on to it, but at the same time, it's not the best game in this class, I would say. I mean,
I think this is it's on us, but it's also on the game of just like, you know, we tend to move at a pace of playing new stuff. And, you know, but at the same time, when something really grabs us, we will go back to it. We didn't go back to Knockout City, and I don't quite know why. Part of it for me is that like it's not that it lacks depth or anything, but it doesn't have, it was missing something for me. I think the core gameplay of it, of the dodgeball, of the spinning, of the different types of balls and all that was there. I the map design was always something to me that I don't think they quite nailed, because a lot of times it just ends up with you running around the map trying to find another person. And that's really when the game starts, is when you find that other person. Very few times did the map design actually play a factor into that. There was the level with the crane, which I think sometimes played into it, but most of the time those maps are just, you know, they're just big squares kind of thing. I liked the one with the cars, it was almost like a racetrack, but it was just a big circle basically, but it had cars and stuff. So when stuff got going crazy and you kind of forget about the traffic, it played a factor. I think they needed more maps like that. There's also the one that I think it was supposed to be like a diner or a spaceship or something like that. It was also round, but like it had walls and stuff that would sort of spin and then they could get in front of you. So it would kind of break the flow. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. There's a long-winded way of me saying that. I think that they're on to something, but we never went back to keep playing it. That's not a fault of the game, possibly, but it's hard for me to pick it over the rest of the games on this list for that reason.
I don't know. Just you talking about it makes it, I just remember
I feel like we need to pause and go play it.
Right. Honestly, you just mentioned a lot of positives for me personally. And if you say like, guys, you'll play this game almost right now. Like it's fun.
But we could also pick it up and play it and we could have a terrible time.
True.
Like,
yeah, I mean, but we never did though. I don't think we are like, I actually don't think we could do that. I think the game is just kind of pure fun. I think it's more games like it.
To me, like it reminds me a little bit of Disc Jam, like, because Disc Jam had super solid mechanics, but it just, I don't know. There's something about it to where I got my fix of it and I super enjoyed it. And if anyone's like, should I play this game? Like, yeah, you should definitely play that game. But like, I don't know if I would go back and play it for a long period of time. And I don't really know why that is. I can't quite put my finger on it.
I mean, to that point, I do have some of these games still installed on multiple consoles. So that's a good point. Like, I do not have Knockout City currently installed.
But I am looking at the rest of these games and, like, I would take Knockout City over, well, I really only take it over Curse of the Dead Gods.
I would not disagree with that, but I would also take it over The Artful Escape because it's not a game.
Over what?
The Artful Escape. Because it's not a game.
No, not even close to me.
I do not understand the fascination of the hold right or hold up on a controller stick. Like, it just doesn't. Go read a book. Like, go watch a movie. Like, these are not games. To compare it with other games is like, it takes me back to like the video game awards, like when I actually watched them, and like the first year that Walking Dead game came out for Telltale, is like there was no game there, and people quickly found out like there's no game there, like, and it's just all the same thing. It's like The Artful Escape is no different. It's high profile actors just doing a good job of telling a story for sure, but you're not playing anything. Like, if I was going to tell someone best of Game Pass, like, pick up and play with your, especially with some buddies, but that's
I mean, you wouldn't say that about Curse of the Dead God, and it's just not that kind of game.
No, exactly, which is why I don't think I enjoy Curse of the Dead Gods. I would recommend it, but same time, like, in this aspect, so it's probably getting knocked out here soon.
Artful Escape, I, like, everything you said is right, but I still can't, I'm not a huge fan of that argument of, you know, it's not a game. Like, you're not wrong. Like, a lot of times you are holding right, and it's not a hard game. Like, it's not in any capacity, but the presentation of it, it stuck with me. It is the game that I remember most this year from a story perspective, even more than Psychonauts 2. Like, Psychonauts 2 has a lot more game there, but The Artful Escape, the argument that we came up with, like, it's almost the wrong medium for the story that they want to tell, but they still told that story in a very compelling way, and I think it could have been a better, quote, game, but it was something that I won't forget, and I've never seen anything like it. And that's not an excuse to make it, you know, it's unique, so therefore it needs to be at the top, but it's, I didn't want to stop playing. I wanted to see it finish. I wanted to see where it went. And I'm sort of with you on the Telltale thing, but I struggle to call it not a game simply because it doesn't have, quote, traditional gameplay. You know, like, there's no platforming, there's no anything like that, but it doesn't have gameplay at all.
You can play with a TV remote.
You can play, you know, Red Flags without, you know, anything. It's still a game. Like,
it sure is by that logic, but I mean, I'm not putting Red Flags up against Halo 4.
Sure, that's fair. Something feels wrong about that.
No, I get it. It's the indie darling. You can't crap on the indie darlings. The ones that are actually that are actually like presented well, because like, but I mean, again, at the end of the day, like, top of Game Pass is like, I'm thinking games you're actually playing.
you, I mean, you have to play it though. Like you can't, like,
no, you have to play it. I gave up on it. I did not finish that game.
I
stopped holding right. And then I went about my life. Like it was over for me.
I just, like, the problem is like my argument is like, you're not just pressing right. Which is true. Like that's being redundant mostly, but a lot of the time is what you're doing. Right. So I can't be like, well, you don't just press right. And it's
sometimes
like, well,
you hold down R and do a sick riff, bro. Right. Like, yeah, I know. Yeah.
That just something feels special about that game. And really, I guess it's really something feels special about the story. I'm not ready to cut it. As I'm looking at these other games, like, I think part of the thing is, like, I have the Artful Escape soundtrack, and it's phenomenal. Like, it's become part of my work playlist, and they put a lot of time and care and effort into it, and I still sort of agree. Like, I feel like it's kind of the wrong medium, but I also can't really say that without seeing it in another form. Sometimes even though I'm not, quote, playing the game, having direct control and sort of experiencing it that way, I think qualifies to me. And that's kind of how I feel with, like, Life is Strange and Walking Dead. Like, Life is Strange is a little bit different. There is actual, quote, more gameplay. But, you look at stuff like adventure games, Broken Age, King's Quest, stuff like that. And, like, yes, there's, quote, more gameplay, but a lot of it is just clicking on things and seeing what happens. I just don't think it's that far off from those games.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely not
as... absolutely is that far off from those games. You cannot compare Artful Escape to something like Disco Elysium. Disco Elysium isn't...
No. That's like a full CRPG. I'm talking like King's Quest, Phantasmagoria.
Well, back in the day, yeah, exactly. Those are just like...
Or even like Broken Age, though. Like,
I didn't like Broken Age, personally. But, like, yeah, compared to, like, the early FMV games, like, yeah, sure. Like, I agree.
I mean, those... They still make those.
Yeah. Like, and they're not on my list ever. Like, you're not wrong. They still do make those, and I don't play them. I feel... less strongly for Knockout City than I do against Artful Escape. So therefore I'm happy letting Knockout City go. But as it goes, play Knockout City, guys. It's good times.
Yeah, man, that's tough. That is tough. All right, let's try it this way. What game would you move up? So, okay, how are we feeling about Myst in the top three?
Not that strongly, to be honest with you.
So you cut out. Say that
not
again.
Not that strongly, to be honest with you. It's very good. It's a classic game. It survives for decades and decades. It's been out. But at the same time, it is of that time. I feel like it is a must play if you've never played it. However, there are as gamers, we've kind of moved past it as well. Like, it's had its time in the sun as best game of the year. I'm happy to move that out of the top three.
Man, because I have played it before, so, like, I just don't have the same experience as you this year, but it still blows my mind that you had fun with it.
We had
someone that played it.
Yeah, like,
right. So you played it with somebody. Like, you don't get those kind of games anymore. Like, yeah, I get it's a remake, but I don't know. Like, I look at the rest of this list and I'm just like,
Miss, I feel like would be more polarizing, because I played it with someone and we had fun with it and it blew our minds just kind of doing the most routine kind of puzzle thing. Like, not most routine, that's a bad way to put it, but like once things start to click, you're like, holy crap, it's the whole thing makes sense now. But at the same time, I can see someone playing it and going, what do I do? This is stupid. like none of this
makes
sense.
Make that argument for Sea of Thieves, though. Like, Sea of Thieves doesn't, like...
You're not wrong, but Sea of Thieves has water in it. And that water would keep it going a little longer than you imagine, you expect. Wait, do we not drop Sea of Thieves yet? Is that still in the...
No.
I think Sea of Thieves should go simply because it's...
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because that last DLC was just such a letdown.
Sea of Thieves is extremely fun, and I don't think they've nailed it. Like, they're super close to just making that game. Like, when that game clicks and you have those moments, it's amazing. But those moments just don't come frequent enough for me.
I think we're at Sea of Thieves 2 time. Like, if they have not started development on that yet, this, like, they should start that this, like, early this year, next year, because you did all you can with that. You know what works, what doesn't work. It's time to get to the next level of that game.
I still have a huge issue with progression of that game too. I will never understand cosmetics for first person games. Like amazingly, Call of Duty did it right by like, what you can get your bullets that shoot like a laser. It's like, well, that makes sense. Like, but me putting on different clothes that I can't see doesn't make any sense to me. Like, yeah, I can get a pistol and a sword and that's cool. But it's like, you want a thing? You want a new hat? It's like, sure, I guess. I can't see it, but what do I know? Sea of Thieves has been eliminated. Got the yips.
Give us an update, boss. Where are we at?
Artful Escape, Curse of the Dead Gods, Knockout City, Cyber Shadow, Monster Train, Myst, Psychonauts 2.
Curse of the Dead Gods, I don't think... I had a lot of fun with it. I don't think it's up there.
I would take Cyber Shadow and Monster Train over Curse of the Dead Gods and Knockout City.
I agree.
All right, so we'll get rid of Curse of the Dead Gods and Knockout City. Knockout City hurts a little bit. I don't know why.
It does. It really does. Like, yeah. I feel like... See, now I feel like we're doing something wrong. Because that...
Well, all right. I'll put Knockout City back on. All right. Knockout City. All right. All right. Make your... What I'll say for Monster Train. Very good game. Phenomenal game. But I felt the opposite of... Because it's a run-based game, and I felt like by the end of it, like, something like Slay the Spire. Like, Slay the Spire has a lot of moments. Have you played Slay the Spire?
I have not.
Okay, so that might not... I guess Hades would still sort of work. It's just like, with Monster Train, I never felt like I was sort of gaming the system or figuring out the system, or even like a... Like an Undermine, like I would get cards and I would get new monsters and all that, but I never felt that moment to where like, oh, I didn't even think about putting these cards together. And then you find that combination where it's just like, holy crap, I ended up doing like, you know, 1600 damage when I didn't even think I could. And I figured it out. Like, and then you start building the deck the way that, you know, it's like, oh, like I didn't think I could use this combo. Like, I never felt that moment in that game. So it's still a fun game, but to me it lacks that magic of a run-based game of when things start clicking in ways that you don't anticipate. That's the only thing that really sticks out to me. And I remember just getting absolutely destroyed by the bosses in that game. Like, that game was relentless.
Yeah, that's, you're not wrong, but I would also say, obviously, that may be a bit more subjective, because I did get that feeling. The deck building, I fell into pretty hard, and once I realized what kind of did what, I did have those runs where I just completely slayed, just kind of like, it was almost like it was like an autoplay at one point. At some points where it's just kind of like, okay, I don't have to worry about a thing anymore. I got my monsters up there. They got their abilities going, and I'm one-shotting by the time they get up to the top of the, at the top of the train. It's definitely possible to feel that God mode sense of self when you're playing Monster Train, but at the same time, there's also times where you have a absolutely terrible run, and it's like you're struggling. But it's also one of those games where I didn't feel like I was like undermined. I didn't feel like I was out completely. I always felt like I was in some sort of control where I could get back in it. It's, for me, it's a near genius kind of mix of deck building and roguelike and like Darkest Dungeon, which is another game I love. Like, this is like, because it is relentless. It is hard. It is difficult. But at the same time, after a few runs, you get some extra cards, and it's like, oh, I'm about to run this thing now. I think I got it. And then, like, for me, it clicked. And I think for other people, it would click as well.
I don't remember the progression of that game. Do you remember? Like, I remember something about, like, once you complete it, doesn't it do something? Doesn't it add, like, a multiplier or something?
That I'm not quite sure. I know you get, I mean, obviously you get new cars, new abilities, new races, but I think it's up to like 4 or 5 races now. But
the race. Okay, yeah. Okay, now I remember that. Okay. Like, I'd really have to like, you know, go off of your opinion on that one. Like, if you felt that magic, like, I tend to be pretty good at those games. And so it's hard for me to, you know, maybe I just wasn't good at it. Maybe I just wasn't getting the right cards. Maybe I wasn't playing it enough. Who knows? But when those games click that way, you know, like, I have played a Slay the Spire and I have ended up losing hours and hours just because it's like, you get on that run and you're just like, yeah, let's go. Like, I'm doing well. Is it a top three though? Would you take Monster Train over Myst?
Monster Train over Myst. Yes. I would take Monster Train over Myst. Again, I think Myst is special. It's Myst. I mean, like, that's the thing going for Myst. It's freaking Myst. It's like, I can't believe I didn't play it years and years and years ago. At the same time, if the concern is something akin of not getting it in Monster Train, that concern would be higher for Myst. I could see more people bouncing off of Myst's weird puzzle mechanics than building a cool deck in Monster Train.
Out of Cyber Shadow, Knockout City, and Artful Escape, which would you move up?
Cyber Shadow, Knockout City, Cyber Shadow.
You'd take Cyber Shadow over Knockout City and Artful Escape?
Over Artful Escape. It's up there. It's next to Knockout City.
Just cutting Mist just feels wrong. I don't know why. I think it's just the fact that like it blew my mind that somebody could like you had that moment with it. All right. The thing is like if I'm going off a lot of nostalgia for Mist and the fact that you were able to replicate those feelings and the fact that I played it again and I wasn't compelled to finish it again, I think does speak to it. I'm okay cutting Mist. I would move up. Man, I think. God, this is tough. Is Psychonauts 2 on this list?
It better be.
Before we talk these out, I think it might have won. But as I'm talking about it, like.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I went in here thinking Psychonauts in my head is Psychonauts 2 is the best game we played this year.
Yeah.
But.
Like, this list being Artful Escape, Cyber Shadow, Monster Train. No, I think I would take.
The Psychonauts 2 over. is above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with Psychonauts 2 out of all these games is the pacing. It's not bad pacing, but it does sort of drag in the middle. Not to a detrimental level, but the problem is these other games are just so much shorter. Like, you know, Artful Escape is, you know, 4 hours, Cyber Shadow's, you know, 4 hours. So it doesn't really, the chances of that happening are so much less,
right?
For that reason. So like, that's tough. But no, as I'm here, sitting here thinking about all the locations in Psychonauts 2, the creativity, like, no.
Psychonauts 2 is a hell of a game. Hell of a game.
That's
it is. It's one of the few, it might be the only high profile game that actually
delivered.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, and now I think about it out loud, like, there's, a lot of these games got this hype, and it's like Psychonauts 2 actually delivered in terms of its gameplay and its narrative and its humor and its characters. I think this year is Psychonauts game. It's like Psychonauts 2's game to lose this year.
Right.
It's just who's gonna be next Psychonauts 2 at this point, and.
God, yeah, man, that's.
We're looking at Cyber Shadow, Artful Escape.
I would be willing to do it. I would drop Artful Escape and take Cyber Shadow and Monster Train. But the thing is, yeah, I would say this list is Psychonauts 2, Cyber Shadow, Monster Train.
You know what? In that order, and because then. If you think about it, we both get. It's like, I think it works out this way each year, where we both get our one each plus the one we agree on.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the previous list, but that might be it. I mean, I think our biggest debate was Ori and Doom, but I think the right answer came out of that in hindsight. Doom Eternal, it is. But I just, like. My issue with Knockout City and Artful Escape, but cutting those, is just like those, I think those are special games. Like, and Cyber Shadow and Monster Train are not, like, they're not, it's not that they're not unique. It's just like, it's the argument that you sort of had. It's just like, you know,
shouldn't
we've seen this before.
Shouldn't, like, Artful Escape take the place of Cyber Shadow?
I really like Cyber Shadow. Like,
I do. I like the game a lot. I did as well, but shouldn't. But to your point, I feel like Monster Train is special in this genre, especially this year. And I feel like Artful Escape is also kind of, not even kind of, it dominated its genre, whatever you want to call that. Whereas we've had The Messenger. Messenger won, right? It was the top three.
Yeah. I think that, because that was the same year as Yoku, I believe.
Right. Won that year. So in my mind, we have represented that game. We have not represented in the top three. We have not represented the Artful Escape yet, I don't think.
No. Okay, here's, I'm fighting myself now. Artful Escape, super enjoy it. I fully agree that it's, you know, the quote, is it a game conversation? I agree. I think it's actually one of the biggest arguments for you, in that, you know, I think you could argue that the making choices and et cetera in The Walking Dead are more quote gameplay than some of the quote gameplay in Artful Escape. What I'll say is, like, the beginning and last, like, the first 30% of Artful Escape, I really super enjoyed the adventures that you start to go on. But then that middle 30%, I was just kind of like, all right, this is cool, but I'm ready to see the end of it. And then the last 40%, I was totally on board. I love where that game ended up. I love where it started. I love the adventure I went on, but it did feel too long. Cyber Shadow, I still had my frustrations with, but I had less frustrations with it. I think it's a better game than Artful Escape, but I remember more from the Artful Escape because of its strong story. So I'm super, super torn on that. Knockout City's not making it. I like it. It felt wrong cutting it, and it still kind of does, but I think that's simply just because we see the potential there, but we didn't stick with it, so I don't think we can keep it for that reason.
I'm going to let these are two of your babies, so I'm gonna let you choose. But my thought process is, in terms of representing what Game Pass has to offer each year that we've played, that we enjoyed, when it comes to the top three, I feel like we've represented the genre of Cyber Shadow, of The Messenger, well before. We got games like Yoku's Island up there. We got games like Spiritfarer. I think
games are real good.
Say what?
Spiritfarer is real good. Spiritfarer is such a good
game. Yeah, wasn't it? Right. So it's like,
but I just like it. I don't feel comfortable representing it that way. Like,
because it's just not simply better than, which again, I would agree. I think everyone should play The Artful Escape. I don't think it's the better game experience that you're going to get in terms of this top three.
But I also, like, I don't know if this is a good argument or not, but, like, I could give almost anybody the controller for Artful Escape and they could get through it. Like, I think can't do that with
thing.
Cyber Shadow.
I think that's a good thing.
Is that a good argument? Like, I don't even know.
I think it would, like, be in general, but in terms of Game Pass, get, like, the only people that buy, not the only people, I would say the vast majority of people that bought Game Pass are gamers.
I mean, they're at like 20 million though, like,
right? But I want to say those are gamers for the most part. They're not a lot of super cash fans, they kind of understand what Game Pass is and what they get for it. So like I don't really have a concern of I guess the more casual fan getting through anything here that we're talking about.
What else? Okay. I think I'm going to go with Artful Escape. And the reason is I'm remembering Cyber Shadow and I'm remembering my issues with it. And it's super, it's really good. It's precise, but it is not precise enough. Like it's almost there. I remember the controls being a little weird. I remember like sometimes dying and feeling like that wasn't on me. That was on the game. Like the game didn't do it right, kind of thing. Cause I remember some of the platforming, and I remember like near the end of the game, because like by the end of the game, like you've got your dashes, you've got your wall climbing, you've got your wall jumps. Like it tries to sort of mend all those and mesh all those together. And I don't think the end of that game is the strongest part of that game. I think the game gets more frustrating as it goes on. Whereas something like a Yoku's Island Express and a Messenger doesn't have that problem. It's the exact opposite. By the end of the game, or like an Ori, by the end of the game, once you've gone on that journey and you are now the most powerful character that you can be, the game is completely different in a positive way. And I don't think Cyber Shadow gets there in that regard. And I think that's a big caveat of it, because by the end of the game, you don't want to be frustrated with it. You want that power trip. And it doesn't mean that the game's easy, but it just means that you feel like you're in control. And I think that's where that game suffers for me. And I think it suffers enough that I would take Artful Escape over it, even though it's, quote, less of a game. But I will, when it comes next year, I probably won't remember a lot of Cyber Shadow, and I don't think I'm ever really going to forget Artful Escape. So I say cut Cyber Shadow and move up Artful Escape.
I would agree with that. I think you couldn't go wrong either way.
So there we have it. All right, our top three games are Artful Escape, Monster Train, and Psychonauts 2. Now it is time to pick our game of the year, and I think we're going to be in agreement on this one.
Yeah, I think we tend to be. I'm going to say Psychonauts 2.
I'm going to agree. Psychonauts 2 is it's a game that I will admit I put down for a little while. And I put it down because other things came out, not because I wanted to. And I kind of got distracted. But when I went back to it, I was just like, man, I should have came back to this sooner.
Yo, like, yeah, coming back to that game is like, hello, friend. Like,
yeah,
like, oh, it's good to see you. You laugh a little, like you're some jumping. Like, it is a very good game. Like, I'm surprised at how it actually lived up to expectations.
And it's got good boss fights. It's just something that I just don't think you can, like, good boss fights are not a common thing.
It doesn't happen anymore, right? At all. Like,
it's super strange.
A good boss fight nowadays, someone thinking of something from like Dark Souls, is like, no, like,
right.
I mean, like,
it's so creative. Yeah. And it's super unique. And I kind of highlight that because that was, you know, that's something that the story around that game when it came out was just like, the game didn't have boss fights until they got purchased by Microsoft. And then they suddenly had but they were able to get the budget to make that game better, kind of thing. And that game without the boss fights would still be really good, but the boss fights are super memorable. And I like the story. I think the story is not a 10 out of 10 in terms of like, it's not going to keep you guessing, but it's Double Fine has a way of making their characters unique. And you learn more about Raz, you learn more about the Psychonauts and about Raz's family, and it's just, you sort of get to see where he comes from, and it's It's just good. Like I can't. There's not much wrong with it. Like again, I think it's too long. Like I think it definitely could be, you know, 3 to 4 hours shorter. But that's really the only problem I have. The map sucks. I'll say that.
Yeah, like I don't know why they. Yeah. That's my biggest issue with is the map. That 100%. But other than that, like it's one of the few games where I can put down for 2 weeks, come back and just kind of do like a once over and go, all right, I remember I got to go now. Got it.
Yeah. It definitely like you kind of got to get your bearings back, but that takes like 10 minutes. You're like, okay, I remember everything. Like there's a lot of little things. Like I said, like the map kind of sucks. I think switching out the powers could be a little bit better. Cause you do have like 8 powers in this one but it's just the adventures that you go on and the
environments
unique,
and stuff, man. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like each environment's very unique. And I really, not the indoctrination, but what do they call it? I can't remember. Like the thing where you're putting ideas in other people's heads.
Oh yeah. Like that's super, that's super fun.
Like the first time I did it, I was just like, this is kind of weird. But as it kept going on through the game and it becomes a main mechanic, I was like, all right, like this is kind of neat. Like it actually plays into the main story, and the main story goes places. Like it's about like depression and anxiety. And it's like, I know those are kind of like buzzwords, you know, sometimes these days of this game, like it tackles these sensitive issues. And it's like, this game, it tackles them, but it's not the main focus. Like it's not beating you over the head with it. It's still a fun platforming action game at its heart. And it's able to weave those stories in a tasteful way, in a very unique way. So
not only tasteful and unique, but funny. When you play a lot of these games that deal with the very serious themes of Psychonauts, it's always presented as doom and gloom. It's always presented with this standard indie look and sound and feel that it's just always the same. Like what's the game you play? We played this year. Life is Strange 2. Like it's like her depression or whatever is like a tornado ripping up the entire town. It's like,
right.
Like you've seen it so many times. It's always the same exact thing. But Psychonauts is like, let's have a break of fun with this, and like in a way where it's some levity, something like you get to learn about these characters in a way where you learn about the depressions, what they're scared of, what they're fearful of, and what they regret. And you help them deal with it in a way that is fun and humorous. In a way to show, in a way to show like there are other ways to deal with these problems besides to be so loom and gloom. Like you can have a friend pop in your head and connect strange dots that make you laugh and figure out like, oh, maybe it's not so bad out here.
Yeah, everyone should play it, like genuinely. Even if you haven't played the first one, you don't really need to. And it's a game that the first game is, like you said, it's a product of its time. And Psychonauts 2 just improves upon that. And it takes a lot of the modern game design mechanics and being able to, you know, we've got to the point where we can tell these stories in game. And it's not like a, you know, like a Last of Us 2. To where, you know, it's so real, and it's not really what it's about. But the fact that it's able to get its ideas and messages across is just a sign of the good writing, but as well as what we can do in modern games. So there you go. That's it. Game of the Year for 2021 is Psychonauts 2, followed by the runners-up Monster Train and Artful Escape. I thought this was going to be more, I'm sure I've said this every year. I thought this was going to be more clean. I thought we were going to be in and out
nope,
on this one.
Nope. You say it every freaking year. There's always, there's always two games that we're just going to fight over for about 30 minutes. Fight over for 30 minutes, not realizing or realizing too late rather that these games are still on the top of our list.
Well, what's like last year, at least when it was Ori and the Will of the Wisps and Doom Eternal, or was that last year?
Sounds like it.
Whatever year that was. Like, at least those were for the top spot, whereas, again, this time, the big debate was, like, for the other two games. Like, there was a year that, like, Halo Wars 2, I think we had a huge debate about it, like, a 30-minute debate, and it was not even for the top spot. It was for, like, the second and third spot. So, at least we got that out of the way. So, I'm trying to think. So, like, yeah, our first year was Yoku's Island Express, I believe. Yep. And then the second year would have been Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And now we've got Psychonauts, right? Yeah, because what it was last year, the games kind of came early. Yeah, because Ori and the Will of the Wisps and Doom Eternal were right next to each other. But then we didn't really get any, you know, quote, bangers until the later end of the year. So then, yeah, this year we've got these. So there you go. That's going to do it.
Those are three great picks, I think.
I think so. And it's, you're looking at the games that we passed on this year. Like, we passed on Back for Blood, 12 Minutes, The Ascent, Steep, Sea of Thieves, DLC, Dungeons & Dragons, Outlast 2, Dirt 5, The Falconeer, The Medium, Xenocrisis. Like, looking back, like, I kind of felt like this was a soft year for us compared to the other bangers. But I think those top three games, like, I think there was more games that were, quote, better in the previous years, but I think these three games end up being make for a very unique year. So, but there you go. That's going to do it for this episode. Let us know what your Game Pass game of the year is. gpopfans@gmail.com, 574-651-9256. We're going to be back with one more episode for the rest of the year with our State of the Game Pass, where we're just going to kind of talk about how we feel about the service, what's going on in the industry with Microsoft acquisitions. Sony is supposedly making a, quote, Game Pass, not competitor. Is that the word? Yeah, Game Pass competitor. I wouldn't call it that, but we're going to talk about those things in the next episode. Here's to 2022 and more video games. But we'll see you next time with the State of Game Pass.
Good day, sirs.